Well, what a joy to be here and welcome you this morning, this Memorial Day weekend. I brought my own cheering section back there. I got a whole row of family. For the first time this weekend, Dorothy and I saw one of our most recent great-grandchildren, Emma Coker, and she's here this morning. We have, at last count, 14 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. We had a family time last night, and they asked me to pray. And as I was praying, Emma decided to help me. And I told her she could help this morning if she wants to. What a joy to have you this morning. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture, if you have your Bibles with you, in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. We're going to begin at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this generation. Mistakes are costly things. Errors in judgment, wrong decisions, mistaken beliefs. In the spiritual world, mistakes can be deadly. And this passage of Scripture this morning indicates some of the mistakes that we're able to make and liable to make. We find Jesus parting the curtains, as it were, and letting us see behind what is really happening in the spiritual world in relationship to our relationship to him. He had just cast out a demon back in this same 12th chapter. It says in verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Christ had just cast out a demon. And they said he did it by the power of Satan, the Pharisees did. And then later on, he takes up this theme of casting out the devils and tells us what happens to this devil after he leaves this man. And that's where our text is this morning. I have entitled the text, Three Fatal Mistakes. And the first one is that the man mistook the Lord's benefits for his blessings. the benefit of being healed, the fact that the devil went out of this man did not mean that Christ had come in. In fact, as we read the text this morning, we find that the man was still empty and swept, and his life was garnished. It's impossible for us to count all of our blessings. He makes the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. You and I receive daily many, many, many of his benefits. We have our health and our strength and our home and our family and our job and a lot of the material things that he just pours out upon us. But remember that having his benefits does not necessarily mean that we have his blessing upon our lives. It is possible to have his benefits without his blessings. Some of the things that happen on our lives happen for a purpose. And one of the purposes is to make us realize that day by day, moment by moment, we need not only his benefits, but his blessings. I want to ask you a question this morning. With all of the benefits that you and I receive, can you say with assurance in your heart, in your life, I know that in addition to those benefits, I have God's blessing? It's a mistake to assume that his benefits, which, as I say, his sun shines upon the just and the unjust, to assume that because we have his benefits, that we have his blessings. This man, as we read in verse 43, it says, when the unclean spirit went out of the man, the unclean spirit walked through dry places seeking rest, but not finding it, and returned to a house that was swept and garnished, furnished, but it was empty. Psychologists tell us that in our lives, that the three things that many times characterize this generation is emptiness, loneliness, and boredom. You can have day by day the outpouring of his benefits upon you, but unless you have his blessing, you remain empty, and your life is filled with many times anxiety. One of the mistakes that this man made was that he mistook his benefits, of the benefits of the Lord, for God's blessing. He did not have the blessing of God upon his life. And that's a fatal mistake. It's a mistake that we go through life and assume that God's hand is upon us, and that his power is upon us, and that his grace is daily poured out through our lives. But it's not true. We are a blessed people in America. And I'm afraid that in our nation today, a nation that has been characterized as a Christian nation, were far from Christians. And we assume that because we have the benefits day by day that he so freely gives us, that we have his blessing in our life. And that many, many times is not true. The second mistake that this man made was that he mistook reformation for regeneration. As I said, your house, as the text says before us, was swept and garnished, but it was empty. It was a clean house. You know, at some point in our lives, even a drunken man wants to swear off his drink, or a smoker wants to quit smoking, or we make New Year's resolutions every year to be different. Bible says, that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. And it's possible for the evil spirits to go out of our lives. We pray, Lord, clean the cobwebs out of our lives. It reminds me of a story I heard of a man who went to prayer meeting. Every week he would pray, Lord, clean the cobwebs out of my life. And it was again this night that he prayed the same prayer. Oh, Lord, clean the cobwebs out of my life. There was an older, more mature Christian man who listened to this every week. Lord, clean the cobwebs out of my life. And he couldn't take it any longer, so he spoke out, Lord, kill the spider. Well, it's possible, isn't it, to mistake reformation for regeneration. Have you ever stopped to realize what it really means to be born from above? To have Christ come into your life and change you? Many of you know the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. When you become a Christian, it's not just saying that you believe in Jesus, but it's surrendering the right to you to him and letting him be in control of your life. And that's what we're missing today. We're mistaking reformation, cleaning our lives up, and quitting certain things that have crept into our lives for regeneration, for a change. Is your life as a Christian a changed life, not just a clean life? It can be clean and garnished, but empty. And the reason it's empty is because the fact that these things have been taken out, and even the evil spirit has been taken out, does not mean that Christ has come in and given you new life and a changed life. So that when I ask you if you're a Christian this morning, I'm asking you who's in control. Has your life been changed? Not just cleaned up. Not that you were sorry for some sins and even confessed them. And not even that some of the evil spirits that were in your life before you became a Christian have gone out. But has Christ come in the fullness of his presence to take control of your life? That doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. There are no perfect people. But being a Christian means that you are a changed man, a changed woman. Don't mistake his benefits for his blessing on your life. And don't mistake reformation for regeneration. To be born from above is the gift of a miracle. So when I ask you this morning, are you a Christian? What I'm asking you is, has a miracle happened in your life? Has a change come? Is Christ on the throne of your heart and your life and in control? There's a third mistake that this man made, mistaking God's benefits for God's blessing, mistaking reformation for regeneration. But I want you to notice the last verse of our text this morning, verse 45. Well, let's just back up and read 44 once again. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the state of the man is worse than the first. An empty house invites stray guests. Schofield calls this the worthlessness of self-reformation. You know, years ago when I was pastor here, We would every year go over the rolls of our church. And if a person had missed attending church for a whole year and hadn't given anything, we would write that person and ask them if we could take them off our roll. And many of them said, sure, we're going someplace else. And many of them never even responded. We would clean the church rolls up year after year. Have you ever thought that maybe one day you would be a statistic? The third mistake that this man made was he underestimated the power of Satan. Satan is very, very real. And it says here that even though this man's life was empty and swept and garnished, Satan came and moved back in with seven demons, more vengeful than the original one. We can underestimate the power of Satan. It's so important in our lives that the power of the risen Christ comes in and helps us to resist the power of Satan. The scriptures tell us that Satan, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And it's perfectly possible to be a person whose life has confessed Christ, but not possessed Christ. May I share with you a true story? It happened in Marshalltown, Iowa. After we had left Carl Road, we went for 11 years and pastored a church in the middle of Iowa, Marshalltown. It was after supper one night, and I got a telephone call from a young man in our church whose father was one of our deacons. He said, "Pastor, I'm up here in the emergency room." And he was dating one of the young ladies of our church. And she was acting strangely, and so he took her to the emergency room. I had counseled with Cindy, the young lady, on occasion. She had grown up in our church. She was one of the active members of our youth group. Had a beautiful voice. And often on Sunday morning, she would sing for the service. But she was having some emotional problems, and I assumed that's what was happening now. So I called the young man's father, who was one of our deacons, and told him that Mike had called me and that he and Cindy were up at our local hospital in the emergency room, and asked him if he would go with me. So I went and picked him up, and we went up to the emergency room, and the nurse in the emergency room said, "Well, they're not here. We were going to admit Cindy. She really needed some help, but she refused to be admitted." I said, "By any chance, do you know where she went?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I heard them talk about going to their grandmother's, her grandmother's." Well, I knew where Grandma lived. So Lou, the deacon, and I went down, and sure enough, Mike had his car parked in the driveway of Grandma. I went over to the window of the passenger side where Cindy was sitting, and she rolled down the window. And I heard a strange voice, a very high-pitched voice. "What are you doing here?" And she started to curse me, and about everything vile she could think of in this high-pitched voice, which was not her voice. And I looked to Lou, our deacon, and I said, "That's a demon." Now, I had never really seen demon possession before, but I knew that what voice was coming out of Cindy's throat was not her. I didn't know a lot of what to do, but I had read a lot about demon possession, and I had known missionaries on the mission field that had come home and told us about cases of demon possession and so forth on the mission field. And one of the things that Jesus did when a person was demon possessed, he would ask their name. So I said this in, or I said to the demon, "What's your name?" And I heard, "Light, lust." And I turned to Lou and I said, "Lou, we've got to pray. Would you lay hands on Cindy with me, and we'll plead the blood of Jesus Christ and try to cast out this demon." I'd never done that in my life. And so we did. Lou and I laid our hands on Cindy, and we ordered the demons to come out of her through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Several things happened. There was a cat underneath the car, and as we prayed, the cat ran squealing out from underneath the car. And I remembered that one time Jesus cast out demons and they had gone into a herd of pigs, remember that? And run down the hill and drown themselves in a lake. And I can't say that that's what happened, but the cat ran away squealing. And Cindy began to sing, a beautiful soprano voice. And she sang and asked Jesus to forgive her. and to come into her heart and life. Well, we took Cindy into Grandma's house, and she was exhausted. She laid on the couch, and the next day when we called, Grandma said she just slept all night long. I went over to see Cindy the next day, and I said to her, "Cindy, tell me something. You grew up in our church, sang in our services, active in our youth, but Cindy was there ever a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come in and forgive your sins and take control of your life?" She said, "No, Pastor, I knew I should have done it many, many times, but I never did." I said, "Can I ask you another question, Cindy? Was there ever a time when you invited Satan to come into your life? Because I knew that neither Christ nor Satan has any more power over us than we permit him to have." And she said, "Well, Pastor, you knew I was on drugs, that I got into drugs." And she said, "Yes. One night when I was on drugs and high on drugs, I invited Satan to come into my life. And he did." I said, "Cindy, that song that you sang last night, where did you learn that song? I'd never heard it." She said, "I never did." She said, "I just sang as the Holy Spirit gave me the words and the tune." She said, "I just sang it and invited Jesus into my heart." You see, we can underestimate the power of Satan, even in our church life. Cindy was one of our finest, but possessed by a demon. You see, Jesus wanted us to know what happened to that demon once he had cast it out. Said he went into waterless, dry places, trying to find rest, but found none and came back into the life of the man that he had been cast out, and took with him seven more demons. And the end of the man was worse than the beginning. Mistakes. Oh, sometimes they make no difference in our life. We make them every day. But Jesus pulled back the curtain to let us see what warfare is going on for our soul. And this whole matter of being a Christian and understanding what a Christian really is, not just assuming that because we have his blessing or his benefits day by day, which are many, and we all have them, that we really have his blessing. Assuming that because we clean our lives up and garnish the house, that he has really come in, and your life today is just as empty, if not more so, than it ever was. And it is possible that the end of your life can be worse than the beginning. Three fatal mistakes that we make, and I'm afraid that our people in our churches today. I was reading just recently an article by the pastor of the Willow Creek Church, Hybels. And he said, "We have had marvelous success in attendance? I don't know. 10,000 people. But he said, what has happened in our church is that we have been an inch deep and a mile wide, and people's lives have not been changed. Some, yes, but many, no. And we've made a mistake. Oh, we don't want to make that mistake. We don't want to be a statistic. We want to have the genuine presence and the power and the blessing of the Lord in our life. How is it with your soul? Is he real? Is he there? Not perfect, no. But changed? Yes. For that's what regeneration is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. And I know right here this morning, there's a number of people who could stand to their feet right now in this service and tell you the change that has come in their lives. For I've seen it through the years. And they're real. And they're genuine. Oh, not perfect, no. But Christians. Oh, let's not make this fatal mistake of assuming just because his benefits are there, that he's there. Just because occasionally we confess our sins or clean up our lives and garnish our lives, that we're not empty, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and the peace of God that passeth understanding keepeth our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, these are awesome words. A time when you cast out a demon and even were accused of doing it by the power of Beelzebub. But the man on whom you performed this miracle was not a changed man. And you said, so shall it also be in this generation. And Lord, many times we find it in our generation to be true. Churches are full. Lives are enjoying the benefits that you give so freely. But the genuine change that comes through regeneration, being born from above, just isn't there. Oh Lord, come this morning. Speak to our hearts. May we understand with our minds and our hearts what it genuinely means to be saved, to be born, and to be changed. For the glory of Jesus and forever. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, our worship team is here on the platform, and they're gonna be singing in a moment. I want you to just ask yourself the question, is it real? Is it genuine? Is he really there? Do I know the blessings of the Lord, not just his benefits? Do I know the joy of the new birth and are able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to resist Satan and his power in our lives? And while, just before they sing, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anyone here this morning like Cindy? Maybe you grew up in the church, served in the church, and have done many wonderful things for the Lord. But your life this morning is clean, maybe, but empty. And you say, I want to yield my heart and life to Christ, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone who would lift their hand and that I might pray for in a personal way that Christ might come into your heart and life? God bless you. And you. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. Anyone else that I can pray for? You know, this is really serious stuff, isn't it? It's eternal stuff. And having the willingness. You see, Satan has no more power over you than you let him have. And neither does Christ. Until you open your heart and say, come in. Lord Jesus, you've seen these hands raised. You know the heart. But Lord, I'm praying that in these hearts, the miracle of regeneration might happen. And that each life today might know the joy of transformation, transformed lives by the power of the risen Lord. In whose name we pray.